Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Team Hunt is looking for more money, and he is looking for it right now. And Canty can tell you exactly why it's happening now and not some other time like it usually would. That's what you get from Chris Canty. That's what you get from Canty and Carlin. In for Greeny today on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN is the Canty Carlin call-in line. 888-729-3776. We're on ESPN, the app, and we, of course, are on your smart speaker as well. Mike Tannenbaum this morning on Get Up, checking in on Kareem Hunt and his decision all of a sudden to want to get a new contract, didn't get it, and is now demanding a trade, and the Browns have pretty much told him to go scratch. Now, he's back in first-team reps for the Browns, but here's Tannenbaum's perspective this morning on this happening during training camp.
Candidly, we're disappointed that you're bringing this up now in August. There's a time and place to handle business, and that's way earlier in the offseason, so I would just say, let's move forward together. We have a lot of things we're dealing with Deshaun Watson, and we just need the best version of you for us to have the best season possible because you have a ton of ability.
He said a very important thing in there.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he gave the question and the answer in the same sentence. Why are you bringing this up now? I'm bringing this up now because the writing is on the wall that Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended for the entire calendar year. And as a player that's reliant on their quarterback to try to maximize their value, why would I want to stay in a situation where I feel like the team is going to have a mediocre season? That's something that I can't afford in a contract year. Think about the different defenses, the different looks that that run game is going to face with Deshaun Watson on the field for the Browns versus Deshaun Watson being off the field for the Browns. When Deshaun Watson's out there calling, you have to respect the passing game. You got to go out there with two deep safeties, which means a light box for your running backs to do business, to get busy. If you don't have that opportunity, if you're talking about 8 and 9 man fronts because you're not afraid of the quarterback being able to push the ball downfield, then it makes it exponentially harder for Kareem Hunt to do his job.
So what you're telling me is
I completely understand where Kareem Hunt is coming from, and I understand the timing of all of this.
It's a leverage moment. It's a moment that Hunt and his agents probably saw and said, hey, let's try to take advantage of this right now while we can, because if it is Jacoby Brissett, that does take away a lot of the passing game threats for the Cleveland Browns. It does, and if you can't run the ball, the Browns can't win.
That's the point. The Browns have had a top five running game the last 2 years, and they have a really, really good offensive line, Carlin, but the offensive line can only block so many men. And it becomes a numbers game when you start playing it out with the X's and O's, and that's what Kareem Hunt has to be concerned about. And here's the thing. I get it, Carlin. A high tide raises all boats. If Deshaun Watson is there for 11 games, like the initial suspension would have set him up for, then you're talking about the Cleveland Browns potentially being a playoff team. And guess what? Kareem Hunt is going to be a big part of that offense. He's going to get touches. He's going to show well, which translates into him getting the kind of contract that he's looking for in 2023. He's not going to be the lead back in Cleveland. That belongs to Nick Chubb. So he is basically auditioning for 31 other teams around the National Football League. But how can you put your best foot forward in what amounts to a job interview if you're talking about your team from a personnel standpoint being limited in one of the facets of your offense, which is the passing game?
Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, in for Greeny today on ESPN Plus as well. So here's my question. You know that I have been a big Jimmy G guy here when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. We all know Jimmy G is not Deshaun Watson.
No.
How much, realistically, does Jimmy G change that dynamic where Kareem Hunt, if he doesn't get a new deal right now, would at least have a little more peace of mind that We have a quarterback who can be a threat and that defenses have to respect. What? How? Give me a percentage of how much that changes from Brissett to Jimmy G.
I think that's a significant difference. If you have Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback, that's shades of 2020, Carlin, when Baker Mayfield took the Browns to the playoffs and they won a playoff game on the road against your Steelers and had the Kansas City Chiefs on the ropes in the fourth quarter in Arrowhead. I think you can get that kind of production from your offense. And for Kareem Hunt's standpoint, you can get that kind of production as well. Think about that year. Kareem Hunt had 1,150 yards from scrimmage and, what, 11 touchdowns, Carlin?
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd sign up for that if you're in a contract year.
In a minute.
And, oh, by the way, he played in 16 games that season. That's what he's looking to do. If you have competent quarterback play to the level of Jimmy Garoppolo versus what you would get from Jacoby Brissett or Josh Dobbs, then I'm sure that Kareem Hunt would feel a lot better about this situation. But why he came back to practice on Sunday could be some reassurances that his camp has gotten from the Browns organization that if, in fact, Deshaun Watson is suspended for, you know, the entire season or indefinitely, that the Browns are going to make some kind of a move to get another quarterback.
Okay, and so far they are indicating status quo.
Because there's no new information to make them change their position.
Let's talk about that for a second. I mentioned it at the end of the bottom list when you so rudely left me no time to work with.
No.
Why would the Browns at this point continue to wait on this? Doesn't it make sense, Chris, to get the guy, as in Jimmy G, in the building as soon as possible? And I understand that the systems are similar, but we are not all that far away. We're a month away from the opener. I can't win with Jacoby Brissett. And I have to, at the very least, I have to expect it's going to 10, if not the entire season.
Yeah.
I just take for granted right now I go make that move? I mean, listen, if the 49ers won a third-round pick, of course that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know that this is the Browns not wanting to trade for him as much as it is the 49ers waiting in order to try to extract maximum value.
But who else is giving the maximum value
right now? A team that has a quarterback that gets hurt. Their starting quarterback gets hurt. You could point to anybody, but think about this situation.
Washington?
Think about what happened with the Minnesota Vikings in the preseason when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt and what they gave up to the Philadelphia Eagles for Sam Bradford.
A first-round pick.
Exactly. So that's what you're waiting for, blood in the water from another team that loses their starter and their season in his jeopardy of going down the tubes. That's what San Francisco is waiting for. What the Browns are waiting for is the asking price to go down or the asking price to be absolutely nothing at all because the 49ers have to cut Jimmy Garoppolo on the eve of the regular season getting the kick.
But to me, I'd ask this question, though. If I'm the 49ers, it is much more important to me right now to make sure Jimmy G does not end up in Seattle because that can throw a monkey wrench into the division this year. It absolutely can. All of a sudden, the Seahawks go from, and I'm not saying Super Bowl contender, but they go from an afterthought to a pain in the ass.
But that can cut both ways, though, Carl, and they might not be afraid of Jimmy G. They might look at Jimmy G and say, we're not afraid to have to play him twice a year. We know what he is, and we know what he ain't. Think about it, Carlin. I mean, you're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo over the last 3 years ranking 24th in the percentage of throws beyond 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. And at the same time, the 49ers in that span being 29th in pass attempts. It ain't like Jimmy G was doing a lot of heavy lifting. Now, when he had to make plays, when he had to make throws, he did it in that offense. So I don't want to take anything away from him. But I don't think that's a player that the 49ers fear. That's why they invested 3 first-round draft picks in order to get Trey Lance. So I don't know if it's about them being afraid that he goes to Seattle as much as them trying to get draft picks back because of how much they gave up to get Trey Lance.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. Protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So Juan Soto got traded to the Padres, yet the Dodgers absolutely smacked him around this weekend. We talked to a man who was there last night and how everything now is going to play out for the rest of the regular season. It's Canty and Carlin. The great Buster Olney joins us next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
Soto mic'd up last night. Cody Bellinger had a couple of home runs. The Dodgers, boy, they are just cleaning the clocks of everybody right now. 28-5 in their last 33. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Kind of a neat moment, though. I tell you what, I am very into the players being mic'd up, and these are kinds of things that baseball, I think, needs to do more of in these regular season games. It's absolutely awesome. We welcome in our MLB insider, and of course, host of the Baseball Tonight podcast. It is Buster Olney on what I'm sure is a short sleep night, Buster, so I appreciate a few minutes. And let's just start there. This weekend in San Diego with the Dodgers, just beating up on the Padres. Give me your sense, in LA, just give me your sense on what the Dodgers are doing and the impact that Soto's having right now for the Padres so far.
Yeah, and just real quick on Soto being mic'd up last night. Boy, I'm in awe of him. I mean, he is such a dynamic personality. He's such a smart guy. You know, this is someone who, at age 18, started to learn English, and within 2 years, he was doing interviews on national television in his second language. And as someone who got a D-plus at Vanderbilt, in my last class of Spanish, I am just so impressed by him. To have players mic'd up, we talked all in the last week about how Vin Scully was perfect for baseball because his storytelling just fit the pace of the game so well. Well, so does this. And Soto was great with that last night. The start of it after that first game, they went to LA and they got absolutely beat up. I think the Padres will settle in and they'll play better. They're clearly a better team after the deadline in terms of their talent. I do think the Dodgers reminded them that they're still the little brother who can't beat the big brother. Was it Peter Seidler, the Padres owner, said, during the broadcast last night that, the Dodgers are the big dragon up the freeway that they're trying to beat. There's still miles of separation between the Dodgers and the Padres. The Padres are actually closer to last place in the National League West than they are to the Dodgers, who you mentioned some of the stats. Over their last 41 games, they've won 33. They're averaging about 5.6 runs per game. Their offense has gone from being excellent to next level. And what Dave Roberts believes is they're playing a great team game that, led by Freddie Freeman with that great approach hitting the ball the opposite field. They got a lot of guys taking the ball the opposite field. Cody Bellinger's two home runs last night were that way. They're taking walks. They're passing the baton. They are, right now, without a doubt, the best team in baseball, with all due respect to the Mets.
Yeah, and that's where I was going next, because it's clear that the biggest threat for the Dodgers is not going to come out of the NL West. They've beaten the Padres 17 of the last 19. So after what we've seen from DeGrom and Scherzer this weekend and the Mets taking 4 or 5 over the Braves, do we have to view them as the biggest challenger to the Dodgers coming out of the National League to go to the World Series?
No doubt about it. You just love what the Mets have done in their last two series against the Braves, right? I mean, the Braves defending champions, they had a lot of swagger. And the Mets take a 2 out of 3 series from them in July and then over the weekend. And I was not there, but to watch it from afar, you know, to read about it from afar, the incredible atmosphere in Citi Field. It's hard to really talk about it, or it seems crazy to talk about a defending champion that seemed rattled in an opposing ballpark, but that's the way it looked.
Yeah.
It felt like that the Mets fans really got to the Braves players, and they absolutely torched them over that 5-game series. And I saw some of the quotes from guys like Dansby Swanson basically saying they were totally outplayed in this series, and the Braves are, you know, walking away from the ballpark, licking their wounds, and they're going to have to regroup. And oh, by the way, on Sunday, Jacob DeGrom reminded us that when he's on the mound, and he's right, he's the best pitcher in baseball, striking out guys at 102 miles per hour. And Edwin Diaz, you know, we talked so much about Giancarlo Stanton and his toughness working through the boos at Yankee Stadium. I mean, Diaz has taken exact same journey. It's remarkable, and it says a lot about him that he's been able to be that resilient, because I know a lot of folks in baseball were thinking, okay, at some point the Mets are just going to have to dump him.
Yeah, it felt that way after a year and a half or so, but, you know, these trumpets, they have a whole new energy to them when he's coming into the game. Buster, you know, people have actually brought up that he could win the Cy Young. When you vote on those kind of things, how much more difficult is it for a reliever to do it?
I think it's basically impossible with the way that most writers use analytics now in their voting. Look, in 2016, I think that was the year, Zach Britton had arguably the best season any reliever has ever had. He had an ERA like 0.6. Yeah, I think he allowed one home run the whole year. He was ridiculous, and he didn't sniff the Cy Young Award. You know, this is not, you know, back in the 80s of Willie Hernandez, you know, Steve Bedrosian, guys like that popped up and they would win the award. But I think writers now are so locked into analytics and to total value that it's really hard for a short reliever to win that award based on how voters, you know, treat pitchers who throw 2, 3, 4 times as many innings.
Buster, you know we got to talk about my Yankees, man, and it seems like this is a team that's headed in the wrong direction. They're 6-11 in their last 17 games. They got swept by the Cardinals this weekend out in St. Louis, and they've lost 5 straight. How do you explain the post-All-Star break blues for the Pinstripes?
You know, I think to some degree, Chris, it was a regression to the norm, to what they truly are. I felt like that, you know, the rotation really outperformed itself, or overachieved would be a better way to do it. You know, the fact that they were able to hold that group together, their 5 starters making 76 of the first 80 starts in the season, and now we're actually starting to see some injuries. Severino going down. We're starting to see some, you know, performance backed up a little bit. It's strange to say this, but you as a Yankee fan, I'm going to feed into your paranoia. It feels like a big week ahead for them. Right? They're playing the Mariners 3-game series, then they got to go to Boston. I know why the Yankees made the trade of Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader.
Doesn't make it feel good when you watch Jordan Montgomery do what he did on Saturday, though, Buster. It doesn't.
No. That's exactly right. But I think that they clearly, by getting Bader, potentially set themselves up to be a better team, especially defensively in October. But it absolutely came with some risk. And that, you know, they were taking away from probably what is the thinnest part of their team in their rotation. So, and we're seeing that manifest now. They need Frankie Montas to step up. And, man, it is a big week for Gerrit Cole. Because this is the type of week that you paid him for. And, oh, by the way, the Blue Jays, who we saw finish so strongly last year, they've been a different team since John Schneider took over as manager. They're now 9.5 games out. It's no longer a double-digit lead.
Buster, I got to ask this question because I know that the Astros are only a half game back from the Yankees, but it kind of feels like they're the best team in the American League. Do you see it that way too?
I do. I do. And I think they earned that by how they performed against the Yankees. Look, you know, once the Yankees and they typically will slow play their guys when it comes to injuries, you know, with a big lead, I think they're able to use that time to make sure their guys are right. But that all said, I think that the Astros are probably going to run them down anyway. A, it's an easier schedule down the stretch, and B, they play with a ton of confidence. It's a much better team than I think what we've given them credit for.
Buster, appreciate it as always. Great insight. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're not listening to it every morning and you're a baseball fan, you're not really a baseball fan.
Yeah, and I got to hear his thoughts on Rocco Baldelli.
Oh,
the manager from the Twins.
It is. I'll tell you what it is.
Absolutely undressed the umps after that game.
It is a tremendous commute ride. Listen as well. It is awesome to get you caught up on everything going on. And Diaz, I mean, I don't know why I can't get the stupid trumpets out of my head. It's funny. I had a Met fan friend who actually made up lyrics to this 2 years ago. And let's just say they weren't nearly as flattering as they probably would be today.
I don't know why these trumpets remind me of the song The Ring of Fire.
It
kind of sounds like it, right?
Kind of.
I don't know.
But these sound a little more intimidating, though, don't they?
Well, maybe they are, but The Ring of Fire is significant for me because that's what they played in the locker room during training camp with the Dallas Cowboys under Bill Parcells.
Really?
And it was essentially on repeat.
Really?
Yeah. And that was in the midst of doing 10 straight two-a-days.
Why was that?
I don't know. I don't know why Bill Parcells insisted that was played in the locker room, but it was. And it felt like the damn Ring of Fire when I took the field out there.
I tell you, it's always nice to see.
It's dramatic for me, Carl.
Yeah,
it still hasn't gone away.
It's nice for me to continue to figure out where the soft spots are.
There's still some trauma there.
Exactly. What you do is you stick the knife in and then you twist it like that. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Greeny, the podcast.
I explained earlier that I'm in a grilling slump right now. I can't get anything going. Last night, just made sliders, and I overcooked them. Now,
how do you botch sliders? Well, how do you botch burgers?
I do think there's a legitimate answer to that, and I was using 92% lean burgers, which means there's less fat, and it's going to dry out quicker.
It's going to cook quicker.
Yes. And I didn't take that into account, but this is the point.
Burgers never take a long time to cook.
But this
once you get your flame right, you're talking about, you know.
But where is my flame supposed to be? Because
what do you mean?
I'm not. I clearly I don't have it at the right temperature or something because I'm still screwing that up. I am in my own head. But then I get this tweet. This is a beaut.
All right.
From DJ John B. I know I've got to look at this whole barbecue outside as thing as well. And this summer, I just can't get into the grilling fever. I have an electric grill I can use inside, and I feel more comfortable with that. You're not grilling if you're using an electric grill.
No, you're not grilling at all.
If you can plug it in, that's not grilling,
no,
John. That's called a George Foreman grill.
That's what that is. That's exactly
and
what that is.
And that purposely takes all the fat out of it. Why would I use that?
No, because the fat is where the flavor is.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was trying to sell it at home like, yeah, it's the, you know, the much leaner ground beef, healthier, all that stuff. And I did. I'm the one that went to the store yesterday and bought the 92%. But here's my point. I'm not going to use a meat thermometer. Meat thermometers are for chumps.
Okay.
So exactly how am I going to get this right? Because like you, if I'm putting chicken on the grill, I could not be more scared to death that I'm going to poison somebody. And then somebody told me, well, what you do is you put your finger down to it. And if it bounces back up, it's working. But it bounces back up all the time.
It's all about consistent heat with the chicken. Make sure you have it at a consistent heat. You want it somewhere between 350, 375, I would say that ballpark.
But how do I tell what it is when I'm supposed to leave the grill open?
Leave the grill open?
Yeah.
No, you don't leave the grill open. What are you doing? No, you do not leave the grill open.
I'm getting mixed messages.
Who the hell
here
gave you that advice?
I'm closed with the grill.
Leave the grill open.
With chicken and with burgers and hot dogs, you do not close the grill.
Okay, so note to self, don't ever eat any food at a Carlin cookout. Ever.
I think that's a bit extreme.
He leaves the grill open when he cooks the meat.
When I cook the burgers?
No, you don't.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You don't leave the meat. You close it, Carlin. You don't leave the grill open. The meat's not going to be cooked thorough if you leave the grill open.
I tell you what, I am a beaten man right now.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
What's going on here is just, this is the problem. And this is why I feel like Joey Gallo right now, because everybody's trying to tell me what I'm doing wrong with the grill, and now I'm even more in my own head than I was before. It's Canty and Carlin.
I don't know who gave you that advice about leaving the grill open.
All right, it's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are coming to you live from the Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase.
That is the first time I've heard the song Summertime all summer long.
It's a great song.
Like, I mean, I feel like we've banned the song since Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars.
Did you see the apology?
Yeah, I've seen both apologies.
There were two. I only saw the second one that came out last week.
The initial apology.
Well, the initial apology.
And then the one he had with the video last week, and he said he wanted to apologize to Chris Rock's mom.
And even mentioned Tony Rock.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I think Chris put it pretty well. Everybody's trying to make themselves victims in it, too.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. Yeah. That is.
I mean, there's no way to get over it unless you're going to let me slap you back.
Publicly.
Exactly.
Next year's Oscars, we open up with me smacking you.
Exactly. Cool. now it's out of my system.
Okay.
All right.
Now, just briefly, as I said earlier in the show, I am in a grilling slump right now.
It's not a slump. You don't know how to grill.
No, you don't know how to grill.
You just talked about leaving the grill open while you're cooking burgers, dogs, and chicken. But you don't know how to grill.
Well, honestly, go to like YouTube. I've done it.
You're learning how to grill from YouTube.
There's a lot of things
you can learn off of YouTube. Grilling is not one of them.
Okay, so take me through it, then. You know, Bobby Flay.
No, I'm not Bobby Flay, but all I'm simply saying is you get your flame right, whether you're using gas, whether you're using charcoal, you get your preferred temperature based on the kind of meat that you're cooking, and then you make sure that you put the meat on the grill. You have a little spritz bottle there to make sure that you try to get some moisture every now and again when you check in and you flip the meat, but that's it.
And with burgers, you only flip it once.
Exactly, but you close it back down. When it comes to burgers, man, I'm telling you, 3 minutes, tops, each side, burger's done. Okay, that's it. It's over with.
Over medium high heat?
Yeah, I would say probably, I would probably put it around 400 if I'm doing a burger.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like, I'm in a slump. I have done it very well before. I'm just afraid to screw it up now, and I'm in my own head. That's all there is to it.
Well, you got to have your method down, too. And from what you're explaining, you don't have the method down. So on top of the mental block that you have with grilling, somebody is giving you the wrong playbook.
You know what I just had, too? I just had a bad flashback.
What's that?
First time my wife and I were hosting Thanksgiving. It was at our home in New Jersey. It was our first house.
All right.
This is probably 2009. And we had my whole family there. And I am putting some tri-tip on the grill
as well. Nice.
Yeah, to give the option. Not everybody loves the turkey.
Yeah.
But, you know, I put the tri-tip on the grill. First mistake, it's on there for about 4 minutes. I didn't even consider to go out and get more propane. So it just stopped.
Wow.
It just stopped. And then I have to go take the propane, like, who the hell's open on Thanksgiving Day? Walmart was.
Yes.
I'm walking out the front door. My Aunt Billy, who got lost getting there and was a pain in the ass to begin with, is like, oh, where you going? I got to go get more propane. And I am just in a mood right now because I'm ruining Thanksgiving.
Yes, you are.
And then I come back and then I go, all right, do I start over? What am I doing here with cooking? I mean, what an absolute.
That's a nightmare.
Have you hosted holidays before?
Yes, we have. We have hosted. Okay. And when I say we, I put the emphasis on my fiance because she's the one responsible for doing all of the cooking. I just do the grocery shopping and make sure that the house is cleaned up. But we've had a successful Friendsgiving and we've had a successful Christmas. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, Christmas a couple of years ago, when she made those 3 9-spice ducks, unbelievable, Carlin. First time out, nails it making duck.
You should have the whole duck conversation as a part of the vows for the wedding. I vow that we will have duck on Thanksgiving.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the turkey is so overrated. I know we got plenty of time to get to that conversation.
Yeah.
Turkey's so overrated on Thanksgiving. Yeah. But I'm not going to let you off the hook. You got to get better when it comes to grilling, big fella.
I do.
It's completely unacceptable.
As
your co-host and a member of this show unit, I'm embarrassed for us right now.
You know what I think we should do?
That you don't know how to grill.
You know what I think we should do? I think we need to make some content out of this. When you guys get all settled with after the wedding and all that,
yeah,
have you over, and you and I do a little tutorial at the grill.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Absolutely.
I like it.
We can get involved with that.
Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. We are in for Greeny. Now, listen, certain people just make life easier. For instance, your best friend who always brings you dinner when you're stuck working late. How about your friend who will come over and teach you how to grill properly? Yeah, they make your lives easier. It's like if you need to grow your business. ZipRecruiter makes hiring easier because they do the work for you. ZipRecruiter's technology finds the right candidates for your job, and you can invite your top choices to apply. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of January 1st, 2022. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. The Chicago Bears continue to fascinate me. I don't know what it is about the situation with Justin Fields that has me so locked in on the Bears this year, because this is going to be a bad football team.
Mm.
This is going to be a team that is going to challenge to have the worst record in the league. They didn't do much this offseason to really help Justin Fields in terms of weapons. I mean, I'm not going to call – Byron Pringle was a nice fourth or fifth receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, but yep. Byron Pringle is going to look a whole lot better when Patrick Mahomes is throwing him the football. Yeah. Now, having said that, they brought in N'Keal Harry this offseason as somebody that has just been an absolute flop out of the draft. Chris, N'Keal Harry suffered an injury to his ankle that is severe. Courtney Cronin said he couldn't put any pressure on the ankle the other day at practice, and it looks like he's going to be gone for a while. Like, honestly, besides Darnell Mooney, what is left? Cole Kmet? What is left for him to work with this season? The Bears have got nothing.
Yeah, they're going to need some guys to step up. And I'm looking at their third-round draft pick, Velus Jones Jr. out of Tennessee. He's going to have to be an impact player early. He was one of the fastest players at the Combine, Carlin. I know it's a big ask for a guy that's a mid-round draft pick, but they're going to need guys to step up if Justin Fields is going to take that next step as a quarterback. Because you're right. There isn't a strong supporting cast around him. And when you look at the money that they invested on the offensive side of the ball around Justin Fields, Carlin, I want to say it's something like $57 million against their cap, which is by far the fewest or the least amount in the National Football League. So there's work to be done in terms of trying to upgrade the personnel on this Bears roster. But I think Ryan Poles, their new general manager, and Matt Eberflus, their new head coach, they waved the white flag when they decided that they were going to trade Khalil Mack earlier in the offseason. They let you know that this is not going to be a program that's trying to be as competitive as it possibly can in 2022. This is going to be a regime that builds for the future, that builds for the long term. And what that's going to involve is trying to get draft capital for 2023 and 2024 and using that capital to put young impact players on this team. So what that does for Justin Fields in the process, it makes it a lot harder for him to develop properly.
Yeah, here's Ryan Clark this morning on Get Up, ESPN NFL analyst, on Fields and the Bears and how they have or really have not supported him.
Is there a team built around this young quarterback? Did I miss when they put the team together? Did I miss when they poured money into free agency to make sure he was protected? Did I miss when they made early draft picks to protect him up front, or early draft picks to give him skilled players on the outside? And this is the team to me that I feel like has helped its second year quarterback the least of all the quarterbacks drafted last year. And it's going to be a struggle for Justin Fields to take that leap that we look for our quarterbacks to take in between year one and two of starting.
And this bothers me. And maybe it's because I've been a big Fields believer since Ohio State. Watched him make throws at Ohio State that were just dazzling.
Yeah.
Really believe, and granted, it's Ohio State and you're going against a lot of schools that are a lot less talented than you are, but still, you could see it. Chris, a year from now, is Justin Fields still going to be the Bears quarterback of the future? Because I'm starting to think that he's not going to be. And you can't evaluate a guy when he's got so little to work with. It just feels like one of those special circumstances to me. I think of John Mara with the Giants when he said, we've done nothing to help Daniel Jones. But Daniel Jones hasn't done a lot to help himself either.
Oh, they've done plenty to help Daniel Jones. They've done a lot more to help Daniel Jones than the Bears have done to help Justin Fields.
I feel like Justin Fields, a year from now, is going to be more of a question mark for the Bears. And if I were a team that was looking for a quarterback, at least in the draft when it's a draft-heavy one, maybe I can get Justin Fields for a song from the Bears a year from now.
Well, yeah, because the Chicago Bears are going to be in a tough spot. If they have, you know, a top five, a top 10 pick, then they're weighing the opportunity cost of passing on one of those quarterbacks that's going to be in next year's draft and riding with Justin Fields, not knowing whether or not he's going to be the guy. It was a similar decision that the Jets faced with Zach Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Do we want to give Sam Darnold more runway, or are we going to trade Sam and go with a quarterback at the top of the draft?
But at least that was after 3 years.
That was after 3 years, not after two. But, I mean, it's just Josh Rosen in the same situation. That was 1 year, and they pulled the plug on that one. Not saying that the Cardinals were wrong, but, I mean, that would be the situation that the Bears are in, and it seems really unfair to Justin Fields given what's around him. Now, as one of my former co-hosts, Mike Golic Jr., used to always say, fair is a place where they judge pigs at. It's not the National Football League. And so it feels like it's going to be a tough break for one of the most sacked quarterbacks in his rookie season last year in Justin Fields.
And that's not going to change this year.
And that's not going to change this year with this offensive line. I like the addition of Riley Reiff, but they've got a fifth-round draft pick right now that's slotted to be their starting left tackle. Not a good place to be in. Also not a good place to be in when you have the head coach and Tevin Jenkins beefing. That's not a good place to be in as well. So I don't know what happens around Justin Fields, but I can't imagine it's going to be anything good in 2022.
We all know the game isn't over till it's over. So next time you need parts for your car, don't call it quits. Go to eBay Motors. They have 122 million parts to take your car into overtime. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBayMotors.com. Let's ride. Couple of other NFL things. Number one, New England. Patriots, it pretty much looks like you could confirm that the guy who's going to be calling the plays on offense is Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are making a big deal. How could this guy do it? He's a defensive guy. Chris, it doesn't bother me as much. And especially, I guess what would concern me is you've got him as the OC. You've got Joe Judge as the quarterback coach, who was special teams before. So this has not been their specialty. But then I started to think about it. Look at what the Patriots have done so well for so many years. Bill Belichick doesn't worry about what a guy can't do as a player. He worries about what he can do, and he puts him in those situations to be successful. Maybe he's doing the same thing here with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Coaches coach, right? At one point or another, they've all coached one position or another.
Yep.
I do think it's a jump to make somebody an OC. You know, that takes a long jump, but Belichick may just have the final say here and be like, you know what? We can make this work.
Yeah, the sequencing and play calling is more art than science, and you want somebody that has a feel for that. Matt Patricia has done that on the defensive side of the ball, hasn't done that on the offensive side of the ball, so there's a learning curve there. But if anybody can help him figure it out, it's going to be Bill Belichick, who's been a part of the National Football League over the course of the last five decades. So that guy has more answers than anybody else. So I trust that they'll be able to work this thing in the preseason. And the preseason games, the Patriots typically play a lot of their starting players. We'll see them be able to go through the procedure and the logistics of play calling and how Matt Jones responds to Matt Patricia and the feel of it all. We'll get a sense of that early on. But I think that there's still an opportunity for them to figure it out. And again, I come back to looking at some of the things that the Patriots have done on the offensive side of the ball this offseason. I think it bodes well for Mac Jones going into year two. It's not a glut of weapons, but he's not bereft of talent.
No, he's got more to work with. Yeah. And, you know, believe what you want, because the Patriots have been so bad at drafting, specifically receivers.
Tyquan Thornton, though.
Yeah, and it looks like he's starting to look the part, put it that way.
And he was the fastest player at the combine this year.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing you can't teach in the National Football League is speed.
And last one, and this is back to Cleveland, depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson, and if the Browns do go out and get Jimmy G or want to trade for him, or somebody else is interested in him. This was good from Stefania Bell over the weekend. Evan Wilner, our producer, heard this. Well, just give you the sum up, basically, because we're a little bit shorter on time. And that is that Jimmy G, in injuring his shoulder, he did it because he had the thumb problem before that, and the way he went down, he was trying to protect the thumb. So the injury to his shoulder is not one that you would think would be a problem for the long haul. Very somewhat easy to come back from. That has me even a little bit more encouraged. And frankly, if I'm the Browns, adds a degree of urgency for me to go get him.
Yeah, so what are the Jimmy G landing spots? We've got to look at the Cleveland Browns because of the Deshaun Watson impending suspension. We also have to look at the Seattle Seahawks. Is there another team out there? Maybe the New Orleans Saints?
With as bad as things have been, what about Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh would be one.
Carolina, are they still in the mix? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think we've narrowed it down to that four, those four.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who it's going to have to be.
This is going to be in my head all day long.
Edwin Diaz closes the show just like Chris Carlin.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.